Tom Gazzola. Tom, would you sign Tyson Berry if you were Ken Holland?
Oh, now I was listening to you in the last segment, and that's an interesting name, and a name that's popped up when it comes to the Oilers. I remember a few years ago there was talk, you know, what's going to happen with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? Could you flip him for a Tyson Berry when he was with the Avalanche? And if fans and, you know, the fans always want to improve the team, that's understandable. I get that. Ken Holland probably also always wants to improve the team. If he wants to change the look and dynamic of the blue line and move someone out and add that element of offense, then he could probably try to find a way to squeeze Tyson Berry money into the blue line. Now, would I do it? I think the more pressing issue is the goaltending. I think you would want to shore that up. I don't believe Mikko Koskinen is a long-term solution. And maybe even look at what you got for depth forwards, even though I like the depth more. But if that situation presented itself, Griggs, I would certainly explore it with signing Tyson Berry.
I you know, goaltending, sure, it's one thing, but, you know, you lose Mike Smith, you replace his money with basically the guy who comes in, right? So I don't think it's going to be, now, and there'll be a few different options out there to look at, so it'd be fascinating. The Jake Allen name from Kevin Woodley is an interesting one to look at in a trade, but, you know, you probably have to get St. Louis to retain some of the money, but that'll be an interesting one to see what happens with him in the off season. The NHL playoffs. Now we're getting into kind of the middle of the first round. The New York Islanders are up 3-0. That's probably the biggest surprise to me. I actually had them winning 3 games in the series. I just thought it'd be a 7 game series, not a potential sweep by the New York Islanders. I thought Washington would get by them, but hey, man, I give the Islanders credit. Washington just can't generate any consistent offense.
No, and that's surprising considering what they have. I know Backstrom's hurt and all of that, but and kudos to the Islanders because the way they're doing it, it's like they have a solution for everything Washington throws at them. It's been impressive. They're getting goals by committee. They're getting timely goals. The skill guys are playing gritty games, and they're still finding ways to find the back of the net. You know, I laugh because I'm sure, like a lot of Oiler fans, my dad, every time a former Oiler does something good in the postseason, he sends me a text, and he's been waxing poetic about Jordan Eberle and how well he's played in this postseason. And Barry Trotz has that team just finely tuned, Griggs, it seems like. And it's surprising because I did think Washington would be a force to be reckoned with in this postseason. I thought they'd be one of the teams vying for a spot in the conference final against Tampa or Boston. And it's again, it's just this strange, bizarre return where all these what would have been perceived as crazy storylines are kind of coming to fruition. So it's just chalk that one up into that category, but we'll see how it goes. I thought Calgary, too, would take a stranglehold on the series against Dallas, and then that one goes to OT, and Dallas wins, and all of a sudden we're back to 2-2. So there's been some great storylines, and like Corey Crawford yesterday, unbelievable. Unbelievable the amount of pucks he stopped against Vegas. So I still think Vegas cruises to a series win in that one. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But it's been a fun playoffs to track, that's for sure.
That was one of those games where the NHL people are like, yes, we get another revenue for TV for a fifth game because that series is all but over. Columbus is now trailing Tampa Bay down in that series. Two game. What are they down? They just lost 2-1. So they're down, I think, was it 3-1 now in that series? 2-1.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So
there we go.
You know, Columbus, man, I give them credit. They never go away. But Tampa Bay, I think, you know, Tampa Bay's got a lot of depth. They're doing this. They don't even have Stamkos in the lineup yet. Braden Point's being one of their best players. But then they get their depth guys scoring today. Barkley Goudreau and Yanni Gord combined each for a goal and assist with Coleman, the only other four, getting a point. And they win. And they just got too much depth for most teams, does Tampa.
And I think, too, they've got a chip on their shoulder. You're right about the depth. And they can come at you a bunch of different ways. They can play big boy hockey. They've got skill. They're tenacious. The goaltending is obviously solid. The defense has been bolstered. Like they're such a well-rounded team. I admire what Columbus has been able to do. I don't always enjoy John Tortorella's handlings with the press, just being part of the media, but he's got that team, you know, scratching and clawing and taking every inch that they can from their opposition. And I think Tampa, I mean, depth, yes. Skill, yes. They just check off all the boxes, and that's a tough out if you want to get Tampa out. So Columbus, good on them for kind of sticking with it, but I don't think they have the horses to get it done. But they're a strong and scrappy team, and got to give them props for what they've been able to do as well.
Tommy, you look, the NBA started today. Unreal first game, by the way. Went to overtime. Donovan Mitchell, 57 points, third most in NBA history. Meanwhile, the Toronto Raptors, the Toronto Raptors might score 150 points today. Like, they are absolutely crushing Brooklyn. It's 75-54, and we're a minute into the second half.
I love their championship mentality. And this, they have a chip on their shoulder. They don't like what the naysayers are telling people about them. And finally, it seemed like, you know, people were starting to open their eyes to the Raptors actually being legit threats to contend again. And they should. Like, I know they don't have Kawhi Leonard, but this team has been rock solid all season long. They've come back solid in the NBA's return to play. And like you said, I mean, this is a bit of a statement in game one here of the postseason for them. I kind of like their attitude, and I almost said swagger, Greggs, but I don't think that's proper because there's negative connotations that come with swagger. They have this, like, okay, you don't believe us, we're going to prove you wrong type of mentality, and I kind of appreciate that, and this is kind of the start of their run, but all of the pieces that they had, minus Kawhi last year, are still there, and once you get that, you know how to win and you have that mindset. I think it's tough to knock off a champion that as a team collectively knows how to get it done.
Tom Gazzola joins us in the Chronicles on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Now, Tommy, I know you're a huge wrestling fan along with Connor. Did you see the story? Sonya Deville was targeted as kidnapping. She was forced to flee her house and escape a man who was tempted to take her hostage, who had stalked her for months online, which is obviously not very good.
No, this is crazy. I'm sure the guy that tried to break into her place, you know, has a few screws loose, but he, like, cut a hole in her screen door. He showed up, and the cops found him with, like, a knife, zip ties, duct tape, mace. I know fans, you know, are passionate and can be infatuated with athletes and stars and entertainment, but this is really, really scary, Greggs. And here's the other thing too, is like, she's a wrestler and she's fit, and, I'm sure it's alarming to be, have your home broken into, but I think if she needs to throw down, she could probably beat this guy up. But if he's attacking you with a knife in the middle of the night, it's tough to, like, get your bearings straight and all of that, but it's still shocking anytime you see something like this, and it's beyond creepy, and I'm glad they caught this guy, but oh man, that's nuts. It's just crazy what people will do when they I don't want is it an infatuation or is it just plain stalking? Oh. It's plain stalking, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's totally stalking, and it's unhealthy to say the least. Interesting with the Cleveland Indians, right? Many of their players, they didn't hold back on scolding Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac for breaking protocol. They went out, and one player said he'd opt out of the season if the two remained on their active roster. When they got back to Cleveland, they sent him down to the minors. Like, you know what? I respect this. I respect that they're like, hey, we're all here in the same boat, and you two jabronis decide that you're just going to go out on your own, and you can apologize afterwards, but I love this. Consequences to their action. You know, they're not tar and feathering them. They just said, hey, here's the consequences. You guys knew how serious this was. You chose to think you were more important than everybody else, and now you're going to pay the price. They sent him to the minors. I think we need more of this. You know, it's not, you know, you're not emotionally scarring them, but you're just showing people that you know what? If you can make a choice, but there's consequences, you want to make a selfish bad choice.
So careless, too, the both of them. And their excuses for going out. Listen, I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite cities on the road. I highly recommend it if people haven't been there. It falls by the wayside. And I would be tempted to go out, too. But we have to understand we're in the middle of a pandemic. And the fact that they're actually just playing baseball, those guys should be understanding and appreciative of. And they've been so careless to just go and try to not be forthright with your teammates. Good. There are consequences for your action. And Clevinger and Plesac are dealing with it. And here's the other thing, too. It has implications for their free agency status. Like, if they're held off the roster and with the taxi squad or the team, whatever they're calling it, it's not the minor league team, obviously. But if they're kept off the roster for X amount of days, each guy, that affects their free agent potential and when they are eligible for free agency, which
yep.
could be huge money. That could have a huge impact for them financially. And these aren't two bum pitchers. These are two guys in the rotation on a team that's a pretty good team, and they're big pieces of the rotation. And all of a sudden, their stupidity is going to cost them, and the team's going to have to try to make up for it. And I kind of appreciate what the Indian players are saying in regard to their teammates for pulling off stupid moves like that. And they had Carlos Carrasco on their roster. The guy had leukemia last year, Greggs. You want to talk about, like, immune-compromised players and teammates, and you want to care for your teammates? Like, come on. It's just bizarre, beyond stupid and more than bizarre for them to go and be that careless.
340 on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tommy, what do you make of the Flames Stars now that it's a best of three? Who do you like?
Oh, I still like Calgary. I think they're humming along and it's there for the taking. And, you know, Dallas finally had a bit of an offensive outburst, but I like Calgary's makeup. I like the way they're bringing it night to night. And Greggs, I've been going to those games and watching that series. And when you have all four lines rolling and you've got depth guys leading the charge offensively, like Sam Bennett has had an excellent postseason. I mean, Tobias Reeder, three shorthanded goals in the postseason. I mean, where was that last year? Obviously, Oilers fans probably rolling their eyes every time Reeder scores a goal. Lucic, too. Talbot's been solid for them. It's been interesting to watch the Flames, and I think they're going to pull off the win in this series and make their way to the second round. It's just Dallas, for whatever reason, they seem to be kind of, I think of them in a way as fading away the way Minnesota did over the last couple of years. That's how I kind of envision Dallas, even though they have some great high-end talent. I think their window is closing, and I think we'll see that in the next few days here when Calgary, I think, beats them.
Tommy, have a good one. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Greggs.